Thank you for joining us today. We hope God speaks to you. We hope dreams come alive and faith is ignited so you can impact the world and those around you for God's kingdom. Enjoy the message.
Hey, City Place family, welcome today. It's so good to see you. No matter what platform you're watching on, whether YouTube or Facebook, or you're driving in your car, listening on all the various platforms, welcome to the City Place family today. My name is Damon, and I, along with my wife, Taisha, we are the lead pastors of City Place Church. And we're so honored to be able to spend this Sunday with you. And so just know that every single time we get to come together, it's our honor to be able to celebrate with you. Hey, I want to bring to your attention just a couple of things. Here at City Place Church, we believe that we should lean in level 10 every single week, which means we remove the distractions. We engage in today's message and conversation. That means I'm not talking just to you, but you and I are talking to each other, because there's going to be some questions that I got for you today. But I just want to make sure that we get all that God has for us. I also want to let you know that you can download today's sermon notes at cityplacechurch.com/notes. So let's lean in level 10 all the way that we can so that we can experience all that God has. I also want to remind you that we will worship God through our giving at the end. We just believe that God has called us to live to give. And in fact, during our in-person service today, so I'm preaching to you here online, but we have people who attend the in-person service that are actually having a serve day today. And because of your faithfulness and your partnership with the kingdom of God, we are going to be providing Thanksgiving care boxes with food today at 11 o'clock. So when service is over, if you want to come out and hang with those that are serving today, you can do that. But because of your faithfulness, we're going to be impacting families this Thanksgiving week. Isn't that cool? That as a church, we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we celebrate that today. Just last week, we got through celebrating Operation Christmas Child. We went above and beyond. And this week, we're giving to families as well. Hey, one final thing that I want to let you know before we jump into God's word. Next Sunday, November the 29th, we're going to be having Sabbath Sunday, where we won't be having church in person. We're actually going to be coming together online, your family, my family, and we're just going to worship God together as a family. We're going to allow the Dream Team to just be able to enjoy their families and just come together. We're going to have some elements from our kids' church as a part of our service, but it's going to be just one big time for all of us to come together as a family. So are you ready for God's word? Are you ready? So here's what I want you to do. Grab your Bibles. And go with me to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. And while you do that, I want you to take out that message notes. I want you to get something to write with, all right? I want you to get something to write with, because I'm going to give you a pop quiz. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, when I was in high school and college, one of the most scary moments was when my teacher said, "We're having a pop quiz." Because if I wasn't prepared for the quiz, then my outcome and my score reflected my preparation. And so today we're in our series called What Your Life Is Missing. And I don't know if you missed last week, but you have to listen to last week. We said, could it be that the thing that our life is missing is knowing, watch now, and having a kingdom perspective that God is God and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to watch and re-listen to last week, because it's going to play into this week and I'm going to reference it more and more throughout our service. But I just want to give you guys a pop quiz. I just want to see what you know, because surprise, it's pop quiz. All right. That's the title of today's message. We're in the same series, our same series, just week number 2, pop quiz. Here's a couple of questions. You ready? Number 1, what's your favorite snack? I'm just going to shoot these off to you. Favorite snack. I want you to comment on some paper. Pop quiz. Here we go. Favorite snack. Number 2, favorite movie. Favorite snack, favorite movie. Number 3, finish this song. All I want for Christmas is. Favorite snack, favorite movie. Finish this song. All I want for Christmas is. Last question. Finish this old school kids' church song. Ready? Here we go. Father Abraham has many sons. Manny. Today's thought is pop quiz. As we jump into God's word today, I'm going to read us a scripture from James. And the whole premise of today's thought is James is going to talk about being prepared. Being prepared when moments of life come. He calls them tests and he calls them trials. And so if you have your Bibles, go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. It says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing," "knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Knowing this, that the testing, the pop quiz, hello, "of your faith produces patience. Therefore, let patience have its perfect work in you so that you can be complete." Now, remember, last week we talked about the one thing that could be missing in our life. And I saw some of the threads. Some of you said that you were missing the close proximity of a family member, job, companion. And I challenge us to change our focus and just land in the place that James was talking about in having a kingdom perspective in which God is God and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, James goes on and says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, James jumps out here and he says, "Count it all joy." He doesn't say this. He doesn't say, "Feel it all joy." He doesn't say you're not going to experience the pain or the hurt or the stretching of the trial. He just says, "Count it all joy." Count it all joy. Why would he say count it all joy? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So this morning, I just want to dive in to this thought around pop quiz, this thought around the word count it all joy when you go into trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I wrote this down. If I can't count it all joy, I could be missing God's perspective. If I can't count it all joy, I could be missing God's perspective. We're going to sit that over to the side because it's hard. If you're like me, it's hard to be joyful in moments where there is stretching or there is pain. But yet there is this outside platform foundation that James says when it comes to our perspective, we have to be able to find joy in everything. We have to be able to find joy in everything. And I'm not saying that the pain of moments of hurt aren't real, but why would he say count it all joy? In order to be able to find that, I have to dive into what James is talking about. Why would he say count it all joy when you fall into various trials? Knowing. See, before we can count it all joy, we have to know. And so he breaks down knowing so that we can have a kingdom response to the trial. Got it, Damon. So I just want to jump into just some kingdom perspectives for a trial. A kingdom perspective for 2020, if we could say. I don't know if y'all feel like me, but hasn't it felt like 2020 has just been full of tests, full of pop quizzes, full of trials? If James was walking today, he would say, count it all joy in 2020. Count it all joy when 2020 has dished this issue and that issue and this moment of life. But if you're like me sometime, I'm like, hey, count it all joy when I'm going through 2020. Remember, kingdom perspective, God is God and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the first thing that I believe when we read, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's what I'm just going to give us. There's four kingdom perspectives I want to give. I'm only going to give two this week. The first one is the reality of trials. The reality of trials. James says, count it all joy when. Count it all joy when. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ, trials, obstacles, situations, and tests weren't pushed to the side. No. They weren't pushed to the side. So there's a reality of the fact that when, just like James said, the brother of Jesus, the one who had his own encounter, he says, count it all joy when? When you fall into various trials, knowing, there's that word again, knowing, I mentioned it earlier, he says, count it all joy when. So the first part of kingdom perspective as it relates to trials is knowing that there will be trials. We have to realize that there will be trials, there will be tests in our life. Every student that is in a classroom will experience, watch now, a test. The teacher has been instructing, the teacher has been guiding, the teacher has been building. Now the teacher wants to see what they've learned. So when we're going through these tests, watch now, perspective, God says the tests that you have will prove what I've taught you. Here's the thing. Have we been paying attention? Damon just wanted to be out on the sports field. So a pop quiz threw me off, but my wife was always prepared for the test. Count it all joy, knowing that you will face. Oh, I pulled that word from the wrong spot of the scripture, but I pulled it into the first part. Why? Because I have to know that we will face. You have to know that we will face trials, obstacles, situations. Pursuit of our dream is not going to come easy. So the reality is you and I will face obstacles, tests, and trials. You don't believe me? I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it because we have to have Jesus all up in here. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just dive in. Watch this. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So watch, James says that you're going to go through a trial, but he relates it to a test. So the trial that you and I will go to, we have to relate it to a test. A test proves what the instructor has already taught us. Here's what the Bible says. Job 5, 7 through 8 says, this is Job speaking, when Job has been tested. When Job has been tested. Watch, he says this. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward. But as for me, watch now, he's saying, I want to give you a kingdom perspective. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Here it is, perspective again. Job says, you are born into trouble. You will experience trial. Why? Because there is an enemy that wants to take you out. There are life moments that you will walk into, but he says, I just want you to know that my kingdom perspective is that God is marvelous. He is unsearchable, and I know that he has things under control. So Job says, trials will occur. But my kingdom perspective has to be on the fact that God is God. And for you and I, that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Job, if you've read anything about Job, you know that Job had a bad day, and then he had a bad week, and then he had a bad month, and then he had a bad year. And Job's response was, I refuse to not have a kingdom perspective. God is God, and for us, Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me keep going. John 16:33 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Watch now, peace is found in Jesus. Then he says this, in the world you will have, everybody say will, you will have tribulation, tests, trials, but be of good cheer. Now, I don't know if y'all caught this. Jesus' brother James just told us to count it all joy. James's brother Jesus tells us in John 16, to be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, you will face the reality of tests. You will face the reality of trials. But if you have a kingdom perspective, your kingdom perspective will sit you in the seat that Jesus has already overcome. Which takes us back to last week where we said the one thing that we could be missing in our life is a kingdom perspective. God is God and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we broke down the fact that Jesus is Lord. There's nobody like him. no one comparable to him, that he was at the beginning of creation and time, and he is the image of the invisible God. And through him, the Bible says, all of creation was formed. So Jesus says, I have overcome the world. So if we recognize that Jesus is the Lord, we realize that when we look from a kingdom perspective, we realize that the Jesus that's in our heart has already got us victory over the test, over the trial, over the obstacle, going to our pursuit of whatever God has put on the inside of us. So reason number one, if we're looking at a kingdom perspective, is that there will be tests and there will be trials. Write this down. If we're going to have a kingdom perspective of trials, tests, situations, the first thing is the reality of trials. The second thing is we have to realize the reason for the trial, the reason for the test. I wrote this down. Test discovers and uncovers what you and I know. Test discovers and uncovers what you and I know. James said this, I'm repeating it over and over again. He says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. James says, you should already know that when your faith is tested, you're going to go through a season of patience, but you should already know that the working of your patience will produce a completion in you. He says, you should already know. You've already heard it. You've already been taught it. He says, now when the test comes, you should already know. See, the reason why you and I will go through trials and tests in our life is to discover and uncover what we already know. Knowing, write this down. You're taking notes. Knowing is knowledge that we gain via experience and instruction. Knowing is knowledge that we gain via experience and instruction. So again, the teacher's teaching in the classroom. They're writing on the board. They're breaking down the wisdom and they're breaking down the knowledge on the pop quiz. They're breaking down all the subject matters so that you and I could grow in knowledge through the experience of our classroom, through the experience of working out the situations, through the experience of working out the formulas, so that when the day of testing comes, we know how to respond. So knowledge is a part of the knowing process. I wrote this down. I want you to write this down. My kingdom perspective is impacted by my knowing. My kingdom perspective is impacted by my knowing. How do we define knowing? We just wrote it down. It's the knowledge gained through experience and instruction. My kingdom perspective is impacted by my knowing. So what should we know? I wrote this down. What should we know? And what must we know? God is God, and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of us knowing. We have to know. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week, you have to listen to last week so that you can accelerate with us through this series. God is God, period. Last week we read the verse where Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am. There's nobody like me. No one can compare to me. I am God. So God is God. That is something that we must know. And Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. What I should know is based on who God is and who I know him to be to me. Remember last week, I asked the question, if you're hopping on here for the very first time, whether the question that I posed last week was, I said, describe who God is. And then I said, describe who God is to you, because they're two different questions. God is God. He's not going to change. But how we view God can change. God will be limited by your perspective. God will be limited in your life based on what you open up your arms and you trust him to do. But he will always be God. So God is God, and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. But who he is and who I know him to be, that should be my foundation. So pop quiz, here we go. Pop quiz, take out your sheets of paper. Pop quiz. Do you know where your faith resides right now? Do you know where your faith resides? The reason why we're focusing on kingdom perspective is because we've declared, we started last month declaring that 2020 is not going to dictate what God has designed for you in your life in this year. The highs and the lows of this year cannot dictate what God has promised you. We refuse to leave this year beat up. No. God has a promise for you, and he declared it to you and your family and your household at the beginning of this year. Your faith was high. You were believing God. You were chasing his promise. And then March came, and then tensions came, and disagreements came. And some of you even told us, and you shared here during our service, that you were starting to lose faith and hope. Well, we're breathing life into you because 2020 is not over yet. So my pop quiz question is, where does your faith reside? Knowing who God is and who he is to you. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith. If you can know that, then you'll be able to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Are you with me? I wrote this down. The enemy wants to use tests to destroy you and your kingdom perspective. The enemy wants to use tests to destroy you and your kingdom perspective. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus had just got through praying. He just got through spending time with God. And it says that the heavens opened up. He was baptized and God spoke, "This is my beloved son in whom I well please." And it says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by the enemy. And it says that the enemy had came to Jesus when Jesus was hungry, after he had poured out, he had been trusting God. And it says that the enemy started to test him with the natural things. You hungry? You should turn this into some food, huh? Let me show you all the kingdoms. Just throw yourself off the cliff. Save yourself. Why don't you just bow down and worship me? All sorts of things. The enemy comes to test Jesus, to try to destroy him and pull him off of his purpose. But if you notice, Jesus had a perspective. Why? Because he knew who his dad was. His dad had just told him, "You're my son." So he had this perspective of, not only am I Jesus, but that's my dad. And so he was able to go back to the enemy and say, "I'm not going to be distracted. I recognize that this is a test. So my response to you is going to be the word of God that's in me." So he began to declare who God was to him. "You should not tempt the Lord thy God. Man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." This is how Jesus dialogues to the enemy during a moment of testing. The enemy was trying to come and steal during the testing period. And Jesus says, "I have a kingdom perspective. God is God. God is God. And I'm the," Jesus could say this, "I am the Lord Jesus Christ." Like, but he referred it back to his dad. God is God. And I'm not going to let you steal my kingdom perspective or destroy me. So let me challenge you. In that faith question that I just asked you, where does your faith reside? I want to challenge you to put your faith in the kingdom perspective. Now, the kingdom perspective is God is God. Jesus is Jesus. We said it last week. I have to trust him. I have to trust that he's working it out. I have to trust it since he's the creator of all, that he's got everything. I have to trust that since Jesus is Jesus, that he is salvation, he is freedom, he is deliverance. I have to trust that he is Christ, he is the anointed one, and everything is found in him. I have to trust. See, if you and I trust, then when the enemy comes to try to cause us to fail the test, we'll know who God is. Oh, I wrote this down. Tests are never designed by a good teacher to hurt you. Tests are never designed by a good teacher to hurt you. I don't know if you've ever asked God, "God, why are you doing this?" Have you ever felt in those moments where you just wanted to blame God and maybe lost sight of, no, this the enemy. God, are you trying to hurt me? Have you ever felt like everything was coming at you and like, "God, you're trying to break me? God, you're trying to..." No. A test from a good teacher is never designed to hurt. It's always designed to prove what they've taught and what you've learned. You're only tested on the information God has already taught you. You're only tested on the information that God has already taught you. You and I, the things that we might face, will only be tested with what God has already poured out. The question is, have we been paying attention to the teacher? Or, if you're like Damon, you want to just play sports. I got to get out of this classroom. And you're not prepared for the test. See, God has been speaking. God has been declaring. God has been teaching. God has been encouraging. God has been declaring. But have we been leaning in to who he is and realize that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have we just been doing a religious routine? Can I tell you that God would never do anything to hurt you? And in fact, as I said that, I feel like someone is watching me right now, and you've actually felt like God has been out to get you. Let me just speak to you, because you've been asking God about that one little thing. God, are you out to hurt me? And you've even been blaming God a little bit. Let me just tell you that God has done everything in all that he could to prove his love to you. He loved you so much that he gave his son. But the enemy, watch now, would try to steal what God has poured out in you to destroy you and to change your perspective. And I want you to know that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. There's nothing you could do to separate yourself from his love. He already proved how much he loves you. But God has been pouring more and more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, his grace and his love into our lives. The question is, pop quiz, are you paying attention to what God is teaching you? Are you paying attention to what God is teaching you in 2020? In 2020, can I tell you one thing that I've learned in 2020? And it caught me literally right at the beginning of this COVID crazy. I realized that I've been running and running and running and pouring and running and running and pouring and pouring. And God was like, Damon, can you just focus on me? Damon, do you remember when you just loved me and I mattered most? So since God got my attention with that, I've been like, God, I want you more. God, restore my passion. I stole a verse where it says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The exciting day when I first received you. Are you paying attention to what God is teaching you? God is teaching me, Damon, I love you no matter what. And I want to spend crazy moments with you. Answer that question. Are you paying attention to what God is currently teaching you? And then I just ask, well, what is God currently teaching you? What is God currently teaching you? Here's what I realized, and we're wrapping up. God wants to use the test. God wants to use the trials to mature us, to mature you and to mature me. He already has given us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding through his word. And you and I have to digest and push into his presence through worship and his word. But God wants to use every moment of what is a test to mature us. Here's what Romans 8:28 says. And we know, there's that word again, and we know through experience that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. The kingdom perspective, the author of Romans says, the kingdom perspective that I have, Paul's talking, he says, and we know already that no matter what situation we're in, our kingdom perspective is God's already working it out. God's already got it under control. Can I tell you, the last 42 days of the year, or how many days we have left. God's working it out. We just have to know it. See, if we don't have a kingdom perspective, our trials or tests will control us. Have you ever felt like that? That 2020 was really kind of dictating your year? No, we're not doing that for the balance of this year. We're not doing that for 2021. We're going to have a kingdom perspective. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. And these tests are going to mature us. So James says this. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. He says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I believe that James says, kingdom perspective produces a permanent knowing and trust in God's plan and process that brings you victory. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. Like, do you see it? He says, the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Can I tell you that 2020, you and I should not come out of 2020 empty-handed with some spiritual strength that God has designed for us. We cannot come out of 2020 weakened. We have to come out of 2020 with all that God has wanted us to grab hold of for this year. That's the reason why we will not declare or preach some sad message about 2020. No, 2020 is going to be a year where you see God's hand move in your life. So can we look at 2020 and say, God, if I didn't get anything, I'm gaining a kingdom perspective that you are God and Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am going to get a kingdom perspective of permanent trust in you. I know that you are God. I know that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus Christ. And I know that 2020, this test of 2020, is going to bring me victory. The enemy's not stealing anything. I'm going to walk in victory. Can I argue that what we need to add is the mentality that we see with Paul, with Jesus, and with James, is this. I know that I know. I know that I know. I know that I know. That he is who he said he is. The other day, my son was just kind of chilling, and he had told me that he had a test. And I was like, well, buddy, did you study? And he was like, Dad, I already know what I know. I studied, I prepared, and I'm ready for the test. If you and I can get in our mind that we will experience a test, but the reason for the test is that God wants to just prove all that he's put on the inside of us, because he's been teaching us, because he's been instructing us. You're stronger because of who God sees you as. You're stronger because God is God and Jesus is Jesus. Do not let the enemy steal from you in the testing period. He says, count it all joy when you fall into and you go through various tests. I love the fact that he doesn't say, you won't feel the stretching or the pain or the disappointment of the moments of life. He just says, when you get to a place where you get a kingdom perspective, you'll still be able to see that God is at work even in the middle of it. And he's going to bring it to your victory. So for all of us who've walked through 2020 and we've experienced some stretching moments, some highs and some lows, here's what I want us to do. as we go throughout this week. I want us to go into our quiet time, and I want you to ask God, God, what are you saying to me? And what do you want to show me in 2020? And God, I just thank you that I'm going to walk out with victory. Even though there's been some bruises, even though there's been some hurt, God wants us to experience victory. Right where you are, final pop quiz question. Do you believe that God will show up for you in the remainder of 2020? And do you know that Jesus loves you no matter what? Right where you are, I want to pray with you. Will you bow your heads right where you are? Close your eyes. I just want to pray for you right where you are. You know, the greatest thing that you and I could ever do is walk into a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that God gave Jesus to die on the cross and raise from the dead so that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. And right where you are, I just want to welcome you into a relationship with Jesus. But here's the thing. It requires you allowing him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. It's really simple. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to pray it after me. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, he comes in and sits himself as the Savior of your life and the Lord of your life. So right where you are, we have people that are praying for you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I acknowledge that you died for me and that you rose again. And I need you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I welcome you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, City Place, can we make some noise for those that made the declaration to receive Jesus today as their Lord and Savior? Come on, can we make some noise? Let me just be one of the first people to say well done on the decision that you made. And I want to welcome you into the family of God. And I just want to encourage you to do me one favor. Do me one next step. There's a virtual connect card, cityplacechurch.com/card. I want to encourage you to fill that card out and let us know the decision that you made today. Feel free to include a prayer request. But our team would love to come around you and just cheer you on in your next step, in your next walk with Jesus. Well done. Our team would love to cheer you on. So well done today. Well done today. Well, we are getting ready to worship the Lord with our giving. I talked about how at 11 o'clock today, we have people who are preparing to serve. And we just believe that God has called us to live to give. And we're going to worship the Lord with our giving. You know, as we head into this Thanksgiving week, how awesome is it that our church is going to be a blessing to families in our community? So as always, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for trusting the Lord and worshiping him through your tithe and your offering. As you can see, we celebrate it all the time. We use and steward God's kingdom finances to represent Jesus on the earth. And so thank you. You can give online, you can give via text, whatever your comfort level. But let's just continue to worship the Lord through our giving today. And I'm going to pray. So let me pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for those that accepted you as their Savior today. I thank you, Lord God, for a kingdom perspective. Lord God, that we, as we go through moments in our life, to just keep our focus on the fact that you are working on our behalf. I just give you glory and honor, Lord God. I pray that every family has just a great week with you as we celebrate Thanksgiving here in the United States. God, I just thank you that we'll give you thanks this week. Bless the offering and the tithe, Lord God, that's being sowed today. Bless the outreach that's taking place here in the next few minutes. God, we just honor you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, hey, as you go, I want you to have an amazing Thanksgiving with your family if you're here in the United States. For those of you who are international, Enjoy your week. I also want to let you know that next Sunday, we will not have in-person service. We're actually going to have a Sabbath Sunday where we're going to come together online. We're going to add some elements of our kids' church to our service. I can't wait to see you all together with your family and my family right back here next Sunday, City Place.
Thanks so much for joining us. Stay connected by subscribing to the City Place Church podcast, following us on Instagram, checking us out on Facebook, or by visiting our website, www.cityplacechurch.com.